We said that these things would happen as we got into the cold weather and as we began traveling, and they've happened. It's going to happen again.
Post-holiday fears of a growing pandemic. It's Tuesday, December 1st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Australia's climate change, Philippines stuck between superpowers, and a bicycle boom. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States is bracing for news that its recent Thanksgiving holiday might result in more cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. Michelle Quinn reports.
Many Americans returned to work this week after taking time off for Thursday's Thanksgiving holiday. While many people chose to stay home for the holiday, others traveled and gathered with loved ones. Health officials and elected leaders are worried that may prompt greater spread of the coronavirus. With more than 4 million cases reported in the United States in November, double October's count, there could be a surge on top of the current surge, said Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Now, we don't want to frighten people, but that's just the reality. We said that these things would happen as we got into the cold weather and as we began traveling, and they've happened. It's going to happen again.
Facing an increase in cases, Los Angeles County, the nation's most populated, ordered new shutdown measures, including a three-week stay-at-home order beginning this week. In its final stretch of the regular season, the National Football League has ordered team facilities closed for in-person activities. But New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced elementary schools would open, reversing an earlier decision. Officials have been criticized throughout the U.S. for allowing indoor dining and for bars to remain open while schools are closed. Medical experts have noted that young children don't spread the virus like adults do.
So let's try to get the kids back, but let's try to mitigate the things that maintain and just push the kind of community spread that we're trying to avoid. And those are the things that you know well. The bars, the restaurants where you have capacity seating indoors without masks. Those are the things that drive the community spread, not the schools.
With hope of a vaccination on the horizon, Fauci and other public health officials are urging the public to continue with safety procedures, wearing masks, avoiding crowds, keeping a physical distance from others. U.S. advisors chosen by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are meeting this week to decide how to distribute initial supplies of a vaccine once one receives government approval. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Australia clashes with China over fake war crimes post. China and Malaysia, usually friends, land in another maritime standoff. Sri Lanka prison protest over COVID-19 becomes deadly. New Zealand charges 13 in volcanic eruption that killed 22 and injured dozens. Australia develops revolutionary electric air ambulance. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by the voanews.com website. We continue now with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Summer in Australia is forecast to be wet, with an increased risk of floods and tropical cyclones. The Bureau of Meteorology has released its official Australia's climate outlook for the summer that begins December 1st. It is predicting conditions that are wetter and cooler than in recent years, but it warns there is still a risk of bushfires for southern Australia. The BOM outlooks also say there's a good chance that the annual monsoon will start early. Phil Mercer in Sydney tells us the summer of 2019-2020 was scarred by some of the worst fires ever recorded in Australia.
Australia is used to the extremes of nature. Last summer was scarred by some of the worst fires ever recorded in Australia. This year is expected to be wetter and cooler. The influence of La Niña, the periodic cooling of the ocean surface in parts of the Pacific, is expected to result in more rainfall across much of Australia. The Bureau of Meteorology's Climate Outlook is predicting a greater number of tropical cyclones, and there's a good chance the annual monsoon will start early. Andrew Watkins is the manager of Climate Prediction Services at the Bureau of Meteorology.
In contrast to last summer, wetter than normal conditions are likely across much of the country. This means the chance of widespread flooding is raised in eastern Australia. However, we will still see some heat waves and some fires at times. Abundant grass growth during spring has led to increased grass fire risk in parts of New South Wales. However, bushfires are always a risk in any summer.
The updated summer bushfire outlook from the Bushfire and Natural Hazards Cooperative Research Centre has identified grass fires as the main danger this summer in eastern Australia. There's a warning that regions that suffered from intense bushfires last summer are also at risk of flash flooding, erosion and landslides if there's heavy rain. Summer in Australia starts officially on December 1, but extreme heatwave conditions are expected across much of southeastern and eastern parts of Australia in the coming days. Temperatures in South Australia have reached 47 degrees Celsius. In Queensland, a bushfire has closed Fraser Island, one of Australia's most famous tourist destinations. Visitors and residents have been told they can't leave the World Heritage-listed island north of Brisbane. The authorities in Queensland say conditions are expected to worsen over the next few days. 2019 was Australia's hottest and driest year on record. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. The Philippines, an old American ally in Asia, is changing its view on whether to scrap a key U.S. military pact. Analysts and officials say it is exploring new ways of benefiting from U.S. defense aid without isolating its new superpower friend, China. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte this month announced that canceling the visiting forces agreement would be suspended for another 6 months. That allows U.S. troops access to Philippine soil for military exercises aimed at regional security as well as local humanitarian work. The first suspension was announced in June, 4 months after Manila said it would fully withdraw from the 21-year-old pact. The United States wants to keep the agreement so its military personnel can easily reach other parts of Asia. Duterte hopes the suspensions will prompt the United States to renegotiate the two-way defense relationship, with focus not just on warding off China, but also on quelling armed rebels at home. The Philippines president has expressed anti-American views while in office, but domestic opinion polls show that much of the public is still in favor of close ties with Washington. Duterte's government has acknowledged this year that China remains a threat at sea despite Chinese economic aid offered since 2016. Derek Grossman is a senior analyst with the U.S.-based RAND Corporation Research Institution.
From the Duterte government's perspective, there's too much focus from the United States on U.S.-China great power competition and arming the Philippines to deal with China rather than arming the Philippines so that the Philippines can do other missions as well. By delaying the VFA further, they are keeping the agreement intact, but also putting some pressure on negotiators to come up with a better deal.
Washington and Manila separately signed a mutual defense treaty in 1951. The visiting forces agreement is seen as a way to execute the 1951 deal through arms sales, exchanges of intelligence, and new discussions on military cooperation. Duterte likely hopes the government of U.S. President-elect Joe Biden will renegotiate military ties so the Philippines can tone down maritime defenses against China and instead focus on anti-terrorism campaigns around the rest of southern Philippine island of Mindanao. Aaron Rabina, research fellow at the Asia-Pacific Pathways to Progress Foundation in Metro Manila, says to expect more suspensions of the VFA cancellation.
It's going to be like this until the two sides really find an agreement to better the alliance based on mutually acceptable terms.
Duterte ultimately wants a superpower-neutral foreign policy like those crafted by Indonesia, Malaysia, and Vietnam, according to some experts. The United States had governed the Philippines for more than 5 decades before granting it independence after World War II. For Washington today, the Philippines represents one in a Western Pacific chain of political allies that work together as needed to stop Chinese maritime expansion. Eduardo Araral, associate professor at the National University of Singapore's Public Policy School, says Manila will be balancing on the fence for a while.
Philippines will be friends with both sides, but it will not be taken for a ride. And I think the 6-month short-term leash is also seen in the context that the Philippines and the U.S. is still discussing the revisions of the Mutual Defense Treaty.
Beijing resents U.S. military activity near the resource-laden 3.5 million square kilometer South China Sea. China, better armed than any other country in East Asia, calls 90% of the sea its own, despite protests from the Philippines, Brunei, Malaysia, Taiwan, and Vietnam. We thank Ralph Jennings in Taipei for contributing this story.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
One of the interesting positives of the COVID pandemic is the explosion in outdoor biking. VOA's Rukin Isik reports on a bicycle group of young kids near the nation's capital in Maryland in this report narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
Routine activities take on special significance during COVID, whether it's a long walk in the park or small and very distant casual gatherings. In a neighborhood just outside of Washington, D.C., a handful of kids started riding their bicycles together, and over time, it became a bike club.
We were all pretty much bored with COVID because we couldn't do many things. We would just come outside and play and bike around, and then eventually more and more kids, some joined us from up the street, and then more and more kids came, and then we started a biking team because it's one thing that we all share in common.
It's fun to come outside because, like, you can just, like all your friends are out, and it's just, you can always like talk. There's always something to talk about with everyone here, and all of us get along.
They call themselves Franklin Park Falcons. The group simply rides bikes together with social distancing in mind. Parents who mostly work from home because of the pandemic are thrilled that their children are using their times in a healthy manner and providing them with a much-needed break at home.
I work from home full-time, so does my husband, so getting the kids outside during the pandemic with their friends and biking and social distancing has been great. It's been occupying them, which has been huge.
But getting a bike these days is proving difficult. Bike sales in the U.S. have shot up over 75% from this time last year, according to retail research. Even fixing an old set of wheels is hard, as most bike shops are overwhelmed and out of inventory. Even finding a second-hand bike can be costly.
I went to the Trek store, and I think Gaithersburg, and I went to go find a bike, but they said they wouldn't have the right bike for me until like October, and I was like, that's not great. So we went to another bike store, and we still couldn't find any bikes there. And then my dad had to go and find one secondhand online, and then we found somebody who was willing to sell it for $500 to us, and that's how I got my bike.
But for these kids in the Franklin Park Falcons having bikes, it means a bit of daily freedom and friendship during a time of lockdowns, Zoom classes, quarantine, and stress. And that's priceless. For Rukin Isik in Maryland, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
That's our program for today. We're glad you've joined us for VOA Asia. Continue online, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, all under the name VOA Asia. We thank those who helped bring this program to you, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.